of the big stories about Windows 8 that's interesting to look at historically and to track into the future is the UI change and how users have responded to it as it has gone along with hardware change in the industry. When the Windows team revised the UI for Windows 8, they had a big focus on touch. They wanted Windows devices to work in this new, highly intuitive, touch-based model, but for that to fully pay off, you need touch devices. And so the team's been happy to see this growth in Windows touch devices. And one of the things that everyone has done at Microsoft is measure customer satisfaction. Of course, we do this all the time. And one of the interesting facts is that when we look at our measure of customer satisfaction, on touch devices, users of touch devices with Windows 8 are more satisfied than users were with Windows 7. So we view that as quite a good success. However, it's also the case that users of Windows 8 on non-touch devices, so I'm a user with a traditional laptop or a traditional desktop PC and I don't have a touch screen, those users were in general a little less satisfied with Windows 8 and its UI compared to Windows 7. So the team, believing in the direction that we've taken with touch, said, man, we would like to go back and try to address some of these customer satisfaction issues. So that's a segue for me to talk to you about the first thing that we're going to announce and talk about today, which is a new update coming this spring for Windows 8.1 that focuses on three specific things. The first is we're investing in a bunch of UI changes specifically to improve the experience for non-touch users. And I'll talk a little bit more about the specifics of that in a minute. And you know, this follows from the customer satisfaction data I described before. We could see where things were going great, and we could see the places where we could improve things for our customers. And so focusing on mouse and keyboard was one of those. The second, as we look at the hardware devices that are coming to market, we knew that we needed to give our OEM partners more flexibility, in particular to reach low price points. So we've increased generally the flexibility in the hardware requirements for Windows, as well as done technology work to help us get to more price points, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then last, we focused on some particular customer segments, enterprise and education, where people are really looking for improved management and better compatibility with things like legacy websites and IE. So that was the third focus for us. All of these things will be part of an update that all of our users will have available later on this spring. So let me talk about these in a bit more detail. The first, I want to talk about the UI changes that we've been trying to make here. And there are a few things in particular, you know, if you all have used Windows 8, if you've used it both on a touch device and on a mouse and keyboard device, then hopefully these will ring as familiar to you. Let's imagine for a moment that I have a Windows 8 tablet, and I'm holding it in my hands like this. And there's a number of things that are very natural to me as a tablet user. If I want to quickly do a search or quickly change my screen brightness, I simply swipe in with my thumb on the right. You get the Windows Charms bar, you get settings, all these things. They're incredibly convenient. Users love that. Fortunately, though, if you're a mouse and keyboard user, and in particular, if you're familiar with Windows 7, some of those touch affordances we found weren't really quite tuned as well as we could do for those mouse and keyboard users. And so we saw people experience a bit of frustration sometimes with things popping up from the side. We found people weren't aware where they should look for certain things in the UI, and those are the things that we've really tried to improve with this update coming this spring. So in particular, we're adding things like a search control, a power button, and settings to the start screen, because if you're a mouse and keyboard user and you're unfamiliar with the charms bar, when you go to start, you'll find those things where you have expected them classically, and now they're quite discoverable for those people who don't have touch. We've changed the UI for standard things like the right click of your mouse. When you use your mouse pointer on the start screen in Windows and you right click on a tile, we'll show you a context menu. That's more natural for what mouse users expect, although it's a little less rich a UI compared to the app bar that we currently show on the bottom of the screen. A big thing that we saw in usability testing and in talking to customers was when they launched into a new modern Windows Store app and it went full screen, and if that was the first time people had experienced it with a mouse and keyboard, they weren't sure how to get out or how to get back. So one of the new things we do for mouse and keyboard users, when you launch one of these new Windows Store apps, you see a title bar at the top of the screen with a close button, and you can go back to the top of the screen anytime and close, or you can go down to the bottom of the screen and use your taskbar to switch among your new Windows Store apps or your old Windows apps in a very natural sort of way that you'd expect. But I want to tell you, our intent is to keep focus, keep the value of the touch experience, continue working with our hardware partners to modernize Windows devices via touch. We love touch, but we think we could improve the situation for all those mouse and keyboard users. Second, with focus on the question of enabling more devices and a wider range of devices, we've tuned the system to bring its hardware requirements down and enable our partners to ship devices that'll have a lower opening price point. So this update will enable hardware partners to build Windows devices that have just 1 gig of RAM and 16 gig of storage. And that'll help us get tablets and convertibles and lots of interesting devices at lower price points than we get with our current hardware requirements. And we're excited to see a wave of devices come that achieve those lower price points for the benefit of our partners and for end users. And then last, there's a number of focused and small tweaks we're making to general manageability so that enterprises and educational institutions can manage devices that run Windows 8, but one in particular that bears calling out, which is that we got a lot of feedback from enterprises who were doing test deployments of Windows 8 with IE11, where a lot of companies have built internal web apps dating back to focus on IE8, IE8 is the version of Internet Explorer that came with Windows 7, and seeing places where the new modern HTML5 support in IE11 was incompatible with their old legacy sites. So we've done a bunch of work in this spring update to enable IE to have a terrific IE8 compatibility mode, which an enterprise can set for particular sites within their corporate network, and that improves the compatibility of these legacy corporate web apps within the IE11 browser.